This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a good day to rejoice and worship God together, whether you're here in the sanctuary or joining us over live stream. I'm glad to be worshiping with you today. And I would invite everyone to take a moment and register your attendance. We have registration pads here in the sanctuary, and lots of you know the drill. You pass it down the row and back again, and be sure and pay attention to the names of those sitting on the row with you. And if there's a name you don't recognize, be sure and reach out. The hand of fellowship this morning. If you're worshiping online, there's a link there that you can place in your browser to register and let us know that you're with us. If you are a college student, we wanted to let you know that all our college students are invited to lunch after the late service, so we hope you'll come back at noon to gather in the narthex, and the group will walk from there to lunch, and the church will, it's a free lunch, it's on the church, so we hope you'll come back. If you are the parent of a youth from 7th to 12th grade, we invite you into the Fourth Story Theater at 9:45 for our youth parents meeting to learn about the ministries and events that are coming up in the spring and early summer. We want to let you know also about a gathering next Sunday. There's more information in the bulletin, but I just wanted to highlight this is the first gathering for those who will be taking the pilgrimage to Montgomery in May, and for any others who would like to participate in these conversations with our brothers and sisters at Gordon Memorial, Clark Memorial, and Mount Pisgah United Methodist Churches. That will be at 2 o'clock here next Sunday at West End. And finally, many of you saw the announcement over email this week, but one of the great ministries that we get to participate in our city is Room in the Inn. And we host 14 gentlemen every Wednesday night for an overnight, and then they go back into the city on Thursday morning. We've got lots of Sunday school classes and small groups that help with that, but we're in pretty desperate need of folks for volunteers to spend the night. We need two people to spend the night on Wednesday nights, and then we have a few openings for food and things like that later through the winter. So if you would like to send Stacy Harwell Dye an email, you can find her email address on the website, or find her and let her know that you're willing to serve. That would be great. This morning we open the book of Exodus together, and we hear the story of the call of Moses. May we open our hearts, our minds, our lives to hear the call of God on each one of us. Let us worship together.
Thank you. before God with awe and wonder.
Let us open ourselves to the sacred this day. Let us worship the God of our ancestors. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of the children of God. Gracious God, you are always present, always near, and yet at times we do not see you in the burning bush. We do not know that we stand on holy ground. Gracious God, you often speak to us, at times calling us by name, and yet we do not discern your voice in the midst of everyday noise and chatter. Forgive our distracted minds and hardened hearts through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. And you may do that in whatever way feels most comfortable to you here in the sanctuary or in the chat online or send a text. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Justin and Laura Wright bring their son to God before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Justin and Laura, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you now these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Yeah. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will. And my friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ.
We will surround this child with the community of love and forgiveness, that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Amen. And what name have you given your son?
Hilliard John.
Hilliard John, I baptize you in the name of God the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who dwells within you and will be your comforter and advocate all the days of your life. And now, Hill, we're going to say a prayer for the Holy Spirit to be within you. And Mom and Dad and little brother Spencer are all going to place our hands on you and pray for you. John Hilliard, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. Maybe we can all walk together as a family and come down to the middle of the sanctuary so the congregation can get a better look at Mr. Hill here, the newest member of our church family to be baptized into our midst. And these are the folks, Hill, who are going to surround you with love and care. They're going to teach you what it looks like to follow Jesus and how to serve others. Some of them are going to be your Sunday school teachers and vacation Bible school teachers. One of them might even be your confirmation mentor. I wonder who it'll be. But let's listen together as they make their promises to you and your family.
Will the congregation please rise and face Hilliard John? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Hilliard John to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Hilliard John, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said to him, Here I am. Then he said, Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cries on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I've seen how the Egyptians oppressed them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, If I come to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, Thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent you, has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Thus you shall say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is my title for all generations. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite any children in the sanctuary to come forward and join me up here if you'd like. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens. Good morning, good morning. Good to see everybody on this rainy Sunday. Wow, what a great crowd. Everybody must have umbrellas. Glad to see you. Come on down, have a seat. Good morning. Here comes Hill and his brother, the little boy we just baptized. All right, what a big group we have today. I'm so glad to see you. Because in today's Bible story, we hear about a very important person in the Bible. His name is Moses. Any of you ever heard of Moses? Yeah, he's really someone that we should know about and know his story. God asked Moses to go to the king of Egypt and tell the king he was wrong and to ask the king to let the people, the Israelites, go. Let them go to freedom because they were enslaved by the king. Now, what we heard was God's first conversation with Moses. And God said, Moses, this is what I want you to do. And do you know what Moses said?
What?
Nope. He said, God, who am I? I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm scared to go to Pharaoh. I don't talk very well. He just went back and forth with God, trying to tell God that he wasn't good enough to do what God wanted him to do. But you know what? God said, Moses, this is not about you. I will be with you, and you'll have everything you need to do this job. And that reminds me that God calls us to do things in the world. Sometimes Maybe you'll see a friend who's sad, and maybe the God nudges you a little bit to go hug that person. Or maybe God nudges you sometimes to tell the truth about something, and that can be a hard thing. And it's easy to think, oh, I can't do things for God. I'm too young, I'm too small, I'm not smart enough, I'm not. But God can use anybody, and God does use anybody and everybody. So our invitation in this story, what I hear when I listen to this story, is that I can just do what God wants me to do and trust that God will give me whatever I need to do that. And God can call each and every one of us. Let's pray together. God, sometimes we think we're too small or too young or not good enough to serve you and to do what you want us to do in the world. But thank you for this story of Moses. It reminds us that you call everybody, and everybody can serve you. We can be kind and share and tell the truth and do good things for others. So help us to do that. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for listening. If you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie to Children's Church. You're 4? That's perfect. Right in the middle. You can go with Pastor Maggie. She's right there. And if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with family or friends. So this morning, we are opening up the book of Exodus. If you are worshiping with us for the first time, our congregation is going through the Bible this year. And we have over 150 people who have signed up and committed to read it all the way through. And I don't know about you, but I'm having a lot of fun with it. And it's a lot of reading, but it's really fun. It is challenging, though, as a preacher, to decide what to talk about on Sunday mornings. When we just have 2 Sundays to talk about Genesis, 2 to talk about Exodus, and 1 Sunday for most of the other books, I sit down and I think, oh my goodness, which story to pick? What can I talk about? And of course, when we're looking at Exodus, I got to talk about Moses. And so this morning, I've decided to talk about the call of Moses. Moses, as I've shared with the children, was probably the most prominent, the most powerful prophet leader in all the Old Testament. Jesus is often speaking of and compared to Moses. The people of Israel lifted up Moses as one of their greatest heroes. And so I wanted us to hear the story of his call when he first encountered the God of Israel and when God invited him to go to Pharaoh and set the people free. Now, maybe it would help to step back a little bit and remind us where we are in the big story. At the end of Genesis, we left the family of Jacob, 12 brothers, 1 sister, and all of their kids and grandkids, in Egypt. They had gone to Egypt to find food because there was a famine in the land that God had promised them. It's a long story. You can read about it in the end of Genesis if you haven't already. But at the end of Genesis, the people of Jacob, who was also known as Israel, the Israelites, are settled in Egypt. And life is good. When Exodus opens, however, generations have passed. We find out later in the book that 400 years have passed. The Israelites, also called the Hebrews, had grown and multiplied and become a strong people in the land of Egypt. A new Pharaoh comes to the throne, and he is greedy and paranoid. And he sees these Hebrews as a separate ethnic group that he's afraid of and threatened by. Look, he says, they're growing in strength and number. We've got to tamp them down. And so he enslaves them. He forces them to labor to make mud bricks. And life becomes hard for the Israelites. Not only that, but he makes a decree that every male child born to the Hebrews must be thrown into the Nile and killed. So this is a terrible, oppressive situation for the Israelites. Now, Moses is born a Hebrew child in the midst of this time. And you can read the story, if you don't know it, of his birth in the 1st and 2nd chapters of Exodus. He is born to a Hebrew woman. He's raised by Pharaoh's daughter, whole nother story. But as an adult, he comes upon one day an Egyptian who is beating a Hebrew. And Moses is incensed, and he gets so angry that he murders the Egyptian. And word gets out, and he must flee to the land of Midian, far away from Egypt. And that's where he is when our story begins this morning. And life isn't too bad for Moses. He lives in Midian. He's got a wife now, a couple of kids, and he's working for his father-in-law. He has a comfortable, easy life, far away from the suffering of his people in Egypt. So it is there in the wilderness, the desert, where he is keeping the flocks of his father-in-law, that he sees this strange sight, a bush, an ordinary bush, but it's engulfed in flames, and it's not being burned. So curious, Moses leans in, moves a little closer to get a better look. And it is after he moves a little closer, shows a little bit of interest, that God speaks. Calls his name twice, Moses, Moses. And Moses says, "Here I am." Another example of one of the people in the Bible stepping forward to say, "Here I am," when God calls. And God says, "Come no closer. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground." And Moses responds with awe and reverence and fear. He covers his face. He's so afraid to look at God. And we pause here for a moment and see this reveals to us something about the nature of God. There's something about God that is awesome, that is other from us. Excuse me. That is mystery, that is unknowable. So Moses hides his face. But then we see another side of God. For God says to Moses, "I have seen what my people are going through in Egypt." Here God reveals that the people of Israel are a special people to God. "My people," God calls them. "I have seen them. I have heard their cries. Indeed, I know their suffering." And that word "know" in the Hebrew is a very intimate word. So here we see a God in relationship with this people, so much so that God takes on their very suffering, that God suffers with them. We see a God who hasn't caused their suffering, who hasn't orchestrated all of this, but is with them, is with those who are oppressed. It's a theme we will see throughout the scriptures. God on the side of the suffering and marginalized and oppressed. And God says to Moses, "Because I have seen and I know their suffering, I am about to come down and deliver them. Deliver them from slavery into a land flowing with milk and honey." God is a God of action who wants to liberate the oppressed and bring them to a place of flourishing. So we see in the bush the God who is awesome and unknowable. And then we also see this God who is intimately involved and connected in human life. And then God gets to the point. "So, Moses, I am sending you." We see a God who is acting in history through a person, choosing to act through humankind to bring about human flourishing. And this is where I think the story gets a little funny. The Bible is really humorous at times. And this is one of those times for me, because I see Moses hiding his face from God, and then God says, "I'm going to send you to confront Pharaoh." And Moses is like, "What? Wait, who am I to confront Pharaoh?" He goes from "here am I" to "who am I? Why are you calling me?" And when God answers the question, God doesn't say, "Well, because Moses, you know, you were born to a Hebrew and raised in Pharaoh's household, you have this cultural duality, you're smart, you're strong." No, God doesn't say any of that. God says, "I will be with you. It's not about you and your gifts. It's about me, says God. I will be with you, and that is all you need. And we see once again what we will see throughout the scriptures is God choosing the youngest sibling, God choosing the smallest, the weakest, the most unlikely to be God's vessels. And sometimes God says, I do that to show my power to the world. So God says, don't worry about who you are, Moses. I will be with you. So Moses tries another tack. Who are you? Moses says. First it's, well, who am I? And now Moses moves to, well, who are you? If I go to these Israelites and I tell them you've sent me, who can I tell them you are? What is your name? This raises a question for me. I don't really know if Moses or any of his contemporaries knew much about the God of Israel at this point, if they were even worshiping this God, if they had been passed down the stories of Abraham and Jacob and God's faithfulness. Maybe God is introducing God's self to Moses. Moses wants to know God's name. And God says, I am who I am. Another way to translate that is, I will be who I will be, or even, I am who am. I am the one who is. Is that any kind of answer? I mean, I think Moses is looking for a name. Give me a box I can put you in, God. Give me something I can tell them that they'll have a plan. They'll know your strength. They'll know who you are so we can manage you and control you. That's part of what naming does. And here again, we see the God who refuses to be named. God who's not a noun, but a verb. The verb of being. As if that should be enough for Moses. I am who I am. How do we respond to a God like that? How do we receive and trust a God who says, I am who I am, and I will be who I will be? Well, as if to respond to some of those doubts, God goes on to say, remember, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Again, this God who is unnameable and unknowable, and the God who is in relationship with people. You will know me by my relationship with your ancestors and with you. I am the God who is, the God who was with Abraham, the God who was with Isaac, the God who was with Jacob, the God who is now with you, the God who is with God's people. Now the conversation goes on. It takes a long time for Moses to say yes. Like most of us, Moses is reluctant to take this on. If you think about it, Moses had a good, comfortable life, way off in Midian, far away from the suffering of his own people. He wasn't seeing it. He wasn't experiencing it. But God was. And so for him to say yes, to go to the halls of power and speak truth to Pharaoh, to try and bring all of these people out of Egypt, he didn't have a road map. He didn't know where they were going. He didn't know how long it would take. If he knew how long it would take, 40 years, he might have been even quicker to say no. But God persists, and God insists that God will be with them. Moses continues, no, I can't do it. I don't speak well. And finally, this is a moment I actually laughed out loud when I was reading this week. Moses says, please, God, just send someone else. Then God gets a little angry and says, all right, look, your brother Aaron will go with you and he will speak for you, but you are doing this. And Moses finally says, yes. And the journey is so much harder than he could have imagined. He has to go to Pharaoh 10 times plus. He has to endure all kinds of doubt and complaining from the people of Israel as they travel through the wilderness. He has conversations and arguments with God all along the way. But because of his willingness to go, the people are set free and eventually are led to a new land. There's so much for us to hear in this story. And I have no doubt that at all the stops along the way through this story, there are some who were touched by different phrases and different images. That's the beauty of the scriptures. But what I hear as we come to the end of this story of call is a reminder that we are all called by God. And the call of God inevitably will ask us to go to places that are uncomfortable, to sacrifice some things we might not choose to sacrifice, to trust in this God who is unnameable, whom we cannot control, to take the journey without a roadmap, but to understand that God is a God of relationship, that God knows our suffering, God knows us inside and out, God will be with us every step of the way, and the invitation is to follow and to trust that no matter what, God is with us, and that is enough. Thanks be to God.
Would you rise in body or in spirit and join me as we affirm our faith together, number 883 in your hymnals. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you'd like to share your prayer requests with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, you can follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here in the sanctuary, you can fill out a gray card located in the pew racks in front of you and place those in the offering plates as they're passed in a few moments. This morning, we remember George and Kren Terran, who and their family, who are mourning the death of George's mother, Charlotte W. Terran, who passed away on January the 12th in Venice, Florida. A memorial service will be held at a later date. We also remember the family and friends of West End member Fred Mund, who passed away on January 18th in Winter Haven, Florida. Among his survivors is his wife, Phyllis Mund. Service plans have not been finalized at this time. Finally, we also remember the family and friends of West End member Dixie Wagner, who passed away on January 20th. A service is planned for Tuesday, January 24th at noon at Forest Lawn Funeral Home in Goodlettsville, with visitation proceeding at 11 a.m. A visitation is also scheduled from 3 to 6 p.m. on Monday, January 23rd. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Surprising God, we give you thanks that you seek us out in our everyday lives and get our attention. We give you thanks that you call us out of our fears and doubts and empower us for the work that you would have us do. Like our ancestors in the faith, may we be found faithful in following where you lead. O great physician, we lift up to you this day the many people and situations pressing on our hearts. We ask that you would speak into the lives of those who are most in need of your love and grace. For those who face job or financial insecurity, for those who are struggling in their relationships, for those who are living in the midst of conflict or war. O God, grant your peace. Grant healing to those who are living with illness or pain, and offer comfort to those who walk in grief. We pray for the people of our community and for people around the world, that all might have what they need to live purposeful and abundant lives. Guide our leaders to make decisions that seek peace and justice for all people. And may we too be vessels through which all of our neighbors, both near and far, experience love and grace, dignity and respect. O God, give us understanding when you call us, and give us the courage to follow you. We ask all of this in the name of the one who calls us by name, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen. And here in the sanctuary, we will pass the offering plates down the rows. May we give with joy this morning to the God who has been so generous with us. I'd like to invite Jan and Norm Ward to come forward. I'd like to introduce you to Jan and Norm Ward. Jan and Norm have three grown children. Jan is a retired social worker, and Norm is a retired military officer. And they're transferring from Blaine United Methodist Church and Murrells Inlet, South Carolina. Just one question for the two of you. As members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Would you all rise in body or in spirit and join me in welcoming our newest members? Family of God, Jan and Norm are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I invite you to greet these folks through the doors to your right following the service. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
Thank you.
May we go from this place in the assurance that God has called each one of us by name to be God's vessels of love, justice, grace, and mercy in the world, and that if God goes with us, that is all we need. Go in God's peace, God's grace, and God's power. Amen.